So yeah, so we want to talk about love because love is really, really important. We know that probably love is the topic of most of the best songs ever written. You know, what's love got to do with it? Well, I could tell you if you would open your Bible. And all you need is love. And you will know many, many other titles that people have penned, speaking about love and speaking about the emotion of love and so on. And last week, I spent some time sharing with us that love is not what people commonly think it is or what people how people commonly describe it, because love is not a feeling. Love is an action. I remember a humorous sketch I saw in a publication once, and it was a Rasta. You know, Rasta man comes from the Caribbean, and he had his locks, and he was there, and he was giving a little bit of a patois exposition, and he was saying he said something like, "I man no fall in love, I stand up in a hit. I man no fall in love, I stand up in it." In other words, you know, he's not tripping over in love. He's not fumbling in love. He's bold and he's brazen about his love. And that's exactly how we should be. We should stand up in it. Stand up in love. Amen? Now, Jesus had a lot to say about love. Even before Jesus arrived, God had a lot to say about love. And a lot of people don't realize that the Ten Commandments is all about love. And last week I asked you, is it possible to command someone to love? And the answer is yes, because love is an action. And God wants us to behave. He wants us to act out love in all of our relationships. And so the first four of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, the first four of the commandments speak about our love towards God. And Moses yelled out to the people, "Hear, O Israel! The Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul." And so the ancient believers were encouraged to love God and love people. The last six commandments speak about how we love each other. We do not kill. We do not lie. We do not bear false witness. We do not covet what our neighbor has. We don't do any of those things. And you know, the more we kick the Ten Commandments out of school, the worse the kids get because they have no moral code to live by. Duh. If they have no moral code to live by, any fool can fill their head with how to live. And we see it on our news every day. Even though the Beatles told us, all you need is love, we still haven't learned the lesson. And so the Ten Commandments are really an exhortation to love. And then Jesus came and told us about love. And because Jesus knew that love was not an emotion, Jesus would say things like this: love your enemies, bless them, and do not curse them. And Jesus knew that if we love our enemies, it would turn our enemies around and give them an opportunity to love us back. He knew that if we love our enemies, that they wouldn't be seeking to beat us and stone us and do violence against us. And so he knew that the best way, as Martin Luther King said, only love can conquer hate. Hate can't conquer hate. Only love can conquer hate. And so Jesus taught the people how to love. And last week I shared with you that the greatest enemy of love is ego. The greatest enemy of love is ego. What is ego? It's a high estimation of myself. It's me thinking higher of myself than I ought. And Jesus said that if we exalt ourselves, we'll be abased, because God resists the proud, but he gives plenty of grace to the humble. He said, "Blessed are the humble, and blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." And so if we want to learn to cultivate love, we need to learn to kill ego. And last week I shared with you that man's, generically speaking, man and women's worst problem is ego. And male man, you've got female man and you've got male man, our biggest challenge is ego. When we're full of ego, we're full of pride, You know, we want all the money we can get. We want all the power we can get. We want all the women we can get. And it's our pride is because we've overestimated our own value, our own worth. We've overestimated our own position. And Jesus wants us to kill ego. Kill it like Demestos. Remember the Demestos ad? Kill it dead. Demestos was an old bleach. And they said, when you apply Demestos to the surfaces of your kitchen, every germ guts to dead. That's what we need to do with ego. We need to kill our ego dead. And I personally think that one of the most important pursuits for a human being to do is to learn to manage your ego. Speak to yourself. No, Dennis, don't cuss him back. No, 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 no. Don't speak back. No, 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 no. Don't justify yourself. No, 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 no. Don't go and take the higher seat. Take the lower seat. Let them promote you themselves. Learn how to manage our egos. It's very, very important. Well, today, I want to speak. Last week, we talked about the blueprint of love. The blueprint of love. This week, I want to speak about love in action. Love in action. And I've got a few truths here. The first truth is simply this. Love expresses itself through truth. Let's look at this scripture, Ephesians 4. I don't know if we can get it on the screen. If we can, it'd be great. Ephesians 4, verse 15 from the New Living Translation. Here's what it says. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more, increasingly, like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way so that we become more and more the reflection, the resemblance of Christ. We become more and more the representatives, the ambassadors of Christ. And so what he's saying here is that love speaks the truth, but it speaks it in love, in gentleness, in humility. So when you're telling somebody about themselves or about yourself, speak the truth in love. Do it with humility and with gentleness, and they will receive it more willingly. Love and truth are a great partnership. Some people say, well, I don't care. I'm going to just speak my truth. But you don't have any truth.
That's right.
Because the truth is not relative. The truth is what's given by God. You're either speaking that or you're speaking your own words. In your own, with your own ego. Truth and love are a great partnership and they must work together. Yeah. It's no good giving people the truth if you can't give them love at the same time. Yeah. And last week we looked at that great passage that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We read it at weddings, you know, and it describes there what love is and how love behaves. And I think that that is a beautiful passage for husbands and wives to read. I tell you what, I reckon if husband and wives read that every night before they went to bed, the relationship would be completely revolutionized. Because in there it tells us how we should act, how we should behave, what love does and what love doesn't do. And when you read it, especially when you read it with somebody else that you're in an intimate relationship with and confess that this is the person I want to be, it can have a profound effect, positive effect on your relationship. So when we speak the truth in love, we grow into maturity. So that's my first point, that love expresses itself through truth. My second point is this, love expresses itself through obedience. See, people think love is an emotion and they feel they can do anything they like and, you know, me just love you, man, me love you. No, you don't, you lust me. You lust me, let's be honest. Love speaks the truth and is obedient to God's commandments. Here's number two, John 14, 15. Shall we put that up if we can? John 14, 15, any version. Jesus said this, the proof of your love will be this, that you keep my commandments. Anyone can say they love you. Any man can tell you that they love you. But are they loyal to you? Are they faithful to you? If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. Obedience to God is an expression of our love for him. You can't say that you love God and yet you don't do what he says. How can you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and you don't do? Or Lord, 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 why do you call me Lord and yet you don't do what I tell you to do? if you love God, you'll be obedient to God's word. Jesus was obedient. The Bible says that although he was equal with God, he came down here fashioned as a man, physically formed as a man, and gave up his life in submission to death. And not just any death. The worst, most grueling death that human beings had created up to that point in history was a crucifixion. And Jesus submitted himself to a crucifixion. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It makes me laugh, Hollywood. Every movie they have, people are killing themselves, literally, to get eternal life. Every movie is a fight between good and evil, and everybody wants to get eternal, especially that whole franchise, Indiana Jones. The things that they do to get eternal life. They drink potions. They go over the sea, they go over mountains, they fight and kill other people, all just to receive eternal life. Man is obsessed with eternal life because God has put it into the heart of man that we are not just temporary, but we can live for eternity. And the good news is, we're all going to live for eternity. We were not designed to live 60 years. Those who have been cut off at 20 years, it's so unfair. But they're not just going to live for 20 years. We're all going to live forever. We just have to decide where we're going to live and who we're going to live with. We're all going to live for eternity. Some to damnation and some to eternal joy. But every one of us was designed to live forever. You decide where your address is going to be in the next life. Have you seen the film stars, the rich people, the famous people, those who were arrogant, those who were, you know, the flippant about the way they lived their life, but on their deathbed, they know to call for a priest. They never call you during their lifetime, but they know on their deathbed. And if they ain't sensible enough, their loved ones know to call for a priest. And they know to make confessions and repent on their deathbed because no one knows where they're going when they finish here. And the fear of the unknown can drive people to God. But why wait for that? Why wait for that? Why not receive him now? Why not receive that love now and all that he has to offer? So Jesus walked in obedience, and we too can walk in obedience. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his plan. So this is my confession. Everything's going to work in my favor. Everything's going to work good for me. So they've given me a bill that I can't pay, but everything's going to work to my favor. So I'm in pain now because of the sickness, but everything's going to work to my favor. Though things don't look so positive now, but I'm confessing the word of God, everything's going to work to my favor. For I know that God causes everything, the good and the bad, will be orchestrated like a symphony to work good for me. Why? Because he loves me and I love him, and he's promised me that if my ways please him, I can ask whatever I will and he will grant it to me. But my prayer will always be, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we know that love expresses itself through truth. And number two, love also expresses itself through obedience. And number three, real love expresses itself without contradiction. 1 John 4, 20:21. Lorna, could you read that for me? 1 John 4, 20:21. Real love expresses itself without contradiction.
If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. But if you don't love people who you can see, how can you love God whom you cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believer.
Amen. So we get to the place where we dislike people, we hate people, we're obsessed with them. We can't get them out of our mind. We just want to get revenge. We're just remembering what they did to us. We've missed it. Because we have done so much more to God than any human being has done to us. We've betrayed him. We've lied on him. We've been disobedient. We have fallen short in so many ways. Do you remember the parable that Jesus taught about the unforgiving servant? He told it for a reason. The unforgiving servant went before his master and he fell at his master's feet and said, Lord, forgive me of my debt. Forgive me of my debt. Forgive me of my debt. The master had called him in and said, you must give an account for that debt now. It's been time enough. And he begs him, please, Lord, give me more time. I will repay every penny. And the master says, okay, I'll wipe the debt. I'll forgive you the debt. And that master rushes out immediately and sees a little underling, a little staff member under him. And immediately he grabs him by the neck and starts to shake him and starts to say, pay me what you owe. I've got debts I need to pay and you need to pay me what you owe me. And some of the other servants heard him and thought, my Lord, he's just been forgiven hundreds of thousands of pounds. And this man owes him a few measly pounds, and this is how he treats him. Those servants went and told the master. The master said, go and drag him and cast him out into utter darkness. And that picture is a picture of you and me. When we don't forgive those who hurt us, when we don't forgive those who trespass against us, when we don't forgive those who we're holding malice against, we become like that servant. And let us remember that some of the hardest people for us to forgive are the closest people to us. The closest people to us are the ones who hurt us the most. The closest people to us are the ones who have the power to hurt us and harm us. But God commands that we must forgive. It's not easy. It's not a walk in the park. We can pray for help. The Holy Spirit can help us. We must forgive. And someone says, yeah, but they abused me and they were wrong. Yes. That doesn't mean you have to now redress the past in a way where you're confessing that they're now right when you know that they were wrong. But you can let them go. And Jesus knew that when we forgive people, we let them out of the prison of our mind. We no longer need to be serving them in that way, constantly thinking about them, constantly muttering under our breath, constantly doing the Muttley. Do you remember Muttley? Or Muttley and what was it called? What was the program called? Muttley and Dick Dastardly in the Racky Racers. Muttley was a little dog, and every time he got annoyed with his master, under his breath, he'd be speaking, breathing. I think it was cursing bad word, but they didn't want to make that. They couldn't do that on the TV, so he'd be like, mutton, something, putton, tutton, all kind of stuff. He's mumbling under his breath, you know? He was really angry with his master. He had a forgiveness problem, and we sometimes can be like that. Colossians 3:12, tell them, Lorna, what Colossians 3:12 says.
Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderheartedness, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience.
Another version says, put these things on. You know, when we're going out to a party or we're going to a wedding or a funeral or an anniversary or a special occasion, we put on garments, don't we? And when we're putting them on, we're looking in the mirror and we're looking at how we look. And we put on the jacket and then we put on the scarf and then we put on the makeup and we're very carefully putting it all on, guys. True? Guys, girls, everybody's wearing makeup these days. Everybody's wearing makeup these days. Right, we're putting on the makeup. We're putting on the aftershave, guys, yeah? We're putting on the aftershave. We're putting on the brooch and we're putting on the tie pin. And we're making sure that our hanky is set just right. Why are we doing that? Because when we're putting things on, we want to look good. It's important that we dress ourselves circumspectly. What Paul is saying here, listen, since God chose you to be holy, holy people that he loves, you must put on. You must put on. And here's the garments that you must put on. You must put on tenderheartedness. You must put on mercy. You must put on kindness. You must put on humility. You must put on gentleness. You must put on patience. If you go out a road without these garments on, you're naked. Unclothed. Undressed as a Christian. And someone said, well, I did put on my skirt. It's okay. Yeah, but what about your top? Put on everything. Romans 5:8 says, But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, offenders, trespassers, even while we're in that state, Christ came and died for us. So how much more are we to do to those who maybe might not be so wonderful in our sights? We have many opportunities to be merciful, many opportunities to be kind, many opportunities to be humble. The fifth thing is this: we must make allowances for each other. Colossians 3:13 says this: make allowances for each other's faults. I'll repeat that. Make allowances for each other's fault. You don't know that the brother's going to have faults. You don't know that the sister's going to have faults. Didn't you know that when you married them, you were going to find stuff that you didn't know, that they were keeping from you? You should have known that. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive everyone who offends you. How many people? Everyone who offends you. Makes me laugh, people that avoid you. People that have... When I hear preachers or people talking at the end of the year, there are people that you need to strike out of your diary and never speak to them again. Why? What kind of character is that? No, don't strike them out your diary. Ring them up and call a truce. Tell them, I can't run with you anymore. I can't roll with you anymore because the way you're rolling, I don't roll like that anymore. But I love you and you won't be seeing much of me from now, but I love you. Give them a month or two, send them a love letter. Send them a positive quote. Post them a gift. We're not supposed to be running away from people and holding malice against people. We're supposed to be influencing people by our good character. So I want to be in relationship with people who are ungodly. They're my favorite people to spend an evening with. People who are ungodly, people who don't believe, people who don't know, people who don't understand. I love that crowd. I want to spend time with them. Why? Because I want to influence them for Jesus. And for me, it doesn't matter what they do, how they live, what their lifestyle is, how they dress. I'm going to hug them and kiss them and love them until something in me rubs off in them. Make allowances for everyone's faults. Forgive everyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord has forgiven you. You must forgive others. Number six, it's our love that binds us all together and makes us one family. Lorna, Colossians 3:14.
Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony.
Amen. So we close ourselves in love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You want harmony in the family, you want harmony in the church, you want harmony in the community, you want harmony at work, clothe yourself in love. Do acts of kindness towards other people. Surprise them by doing good rather than evil. Number seven, we're coming down. Number seven, let's excel in acts of kindness and expressions of love. Hebrews 10:14, Lorna.
Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works.
Say it again, please.
Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works.
I wonder if I gave everyone a task today and say, let's think of some creative ways in which we can love each other and motivate each other towards acts of good works. You know, if we're kind towards somebody, they might be kind towards us, or they might be kind towards somebody else. They don't have to give it back to us. They can pay it forward. You speak a kind word to somebody, you know, you heap some lovely, wonderful things on them, and they go away and they pass it on to others. We need to be seriously thinking, particularly in a church, how we can motivate one another towards acts of love and good works. In a relationship, in a marriage, in a courtship, this is what we need to be doing. Number eight, our love helps us to overcome our faults. 1 Peter 4:8, Lorna.
Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins.
You see, when you love someone, they can offend you, they can hurt you, they can do your stuff, but your love for them will cover a multitude of their sins. This is why we need to cultivate love. Because at the end of the day, I know you hurt me. I know you betrayed me. I know you went wrong. I know the devil got the better of you and all the rest of it. And to be honest with you, my behavior weren't much better anyway. But the love that I have for you, and I think the love you used to have for me, that love can cover a multitude. No, I can't forgive them. What they did was just too much. Do you know what it put me through? Get over yourself. Love covers a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins. Yes, there are times when we need to discipline people. Yes, there are times when we need to have boundaries and form boundaries. Yes, there are times when we might even need to pull ourselves away in a relationship a little. Yes, there are times when we need to have counsel and we need wisdom for all of that. And we need godly counsel for all of that. But we must get back to the point where we love so passionately that it covers a whole multitude of sins. There's nobody on the planet that can do me anything that I can't get over. I can kiss all my enemies. I can hug all my enemies and turn them back into my friends. Okay, last one. Last two. Our love helps us to overcome our faults. Most importantly of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. We just covered that, didn't we? Okay, the next passage, and love each other as if your love as if your life depends on it. Love makes us, or love makes up for practically everything. That's the message version. I'll say that again. Love each other as if your life depended on it. Love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. I didn't think you'd forgive me. I didn't know that you would come to my party. I didn't know that you would have me back. I didn't know that, you know, me and you could get the marriage could be mended. I didn't know that we could overcome. I didn't know that I could love you again, brother, sister, auntie, mum, dad, cousin, children, grandkids. I didn't know that we could work it out. Love covers a multitude of sins. You can work it out. Number nine, and final, love, or let us continue to demonstrate our love towards each other. Let us continue to demonstrate our love towards each other. 1 John 3:18.
Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions.
How do I know that you love me? By your actions. How do you know that I love you? By my actions. It's our actions that determine whether we love or not. Think about it. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.